podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop-Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop-Eye Podcast. It is the Wolves preview. I am Mick and I'm joined by Mike from Opta. That's usually a stat show, and I guess it is a little bit in a way. So we're going to get stuck into some half 12 woes from last year, definitely, and the wider half 12 quarter one kickoffs that we seem to always get. But before we get into it all, Mike, how are you doing?
Yeah, really well. Been sort of tapping my fingers throughout the international break, waiting for the Premier League to start again, but it's finally here, so that's good.
It is. It is like, I think Klopp mentioned something in his press today, like it's good because he can watch movies or something. I think he kind of said that, but he kind of stopped himself because I don't know if he wanted to get taken out of context like he always does. Before we get into the stats type stuff, I guess, like we've got, of course, Wolves away, and it just gets you thinking about last season back in February, where Liverpool were an absolute shadow of a team, a 3-0 loss, early own goal from Matip, I think, and then we just looked like a shell of a team. And 7 months on, confidence is a big thing. I think different system helps as well. But it's mad to think, like, Liverpool are now unbeaten. I think it's in 15 from the back of last season and into this season. And it's mad to just to think, like, back to that game and how we deflated we all felt in that period, losing loads of games and whatever, compared to where we are now. It's crazy, isn't it?
I think we were exclusively playing Wolves and Brighton alternately. Pretty much every week in that period, and losing to them.
Exactly. That made it worse. Usually we'd beat them, so it would be a good thing, but we were just getting beat every week.
It was an odd one because obviously Van Dijk was out for that period, and it was the one sort of period of the season where Liverpool looked a bit vulnerable from set pieces, and Wolves just dominated us from set pieces. It was like, I think there was that, it wasn't just Van Dijk being out, there was also sort of the midfield was depleted. Fabinho and Henderson weren't really being trusted, so it was like by Setic and Thiago and Elliot, who are fine, but they don't quite have the height or the aerial ability that Fabinho and Henderson had, so it all sort of combined to being basically Liverpool getting done from set plays by a lot of teams around that period, and Wolves really took advantage. And Dawson's got a great record against Liverpool because he always pops up with a set piece goal against Liverpool. But yeah, you're right. It's mad how things have changed now. 15 unbeaten, 10 wins, 5 draws, 3 wins and a draw to start the season. I mean, to be fair, I don't think many people would have actually predicted 10 points from the first 4 games Liverpool have had. To say they've gone to Chelsea and gone to Newcastle, and Villa were flying before that 3-0 win as well. So I think 10 points is a really good return. And hopefully we won't see a game quite like the exact fixture last season.
Yeah, I think, I haven't done a show with you for a while, so we haven't really spoke about those games as much, apart from over text and stuff. It's good to see Liverpool. Yeah, I think going into the season, I think we've done a chat about like how we're going to play and stuff, and off the back of last season we were optimistic because of what we'd seen. It was just about translating that over into a new season with loads of players leaving, and then you're having to kind of rebuild the whole thing. And I think a lot of credit has to go to Klopp and the coaching team and whatever, and the players he's brought in for kind of making that transition very seamless, really. Like we shouldn't have been surprised if there was a few teething problems, but the quality that we've brought in is ridiculous, and I guess goes into, hopefully we can take that into the Wolves game. And these early kickoffs, I think, like Klopp said in his press conference, are fine if it's not after an international break. If it's you played 5 days early, then you've got an early kickoff on the Saturday, you're like, well, it's no problem. But it's the it's the after the international break stuff, which is what we're going to get on to, because you've been posting a few bits about it over the last couple of days, and rightly so. And then people latch onto it and retweet it. Like, your tweets just go mad. I see them straight away, and then I'm like, yeah, that's going to have like 500 retweets in an hour. So your phone must be like red hot after like half an hour.
I just have to turn my phone off.
Yeah, it's like one of them. You're becoming like a mini Pierce, where you're a mini Joyce, I should say, where you're like, you just tweet something, then you just turn your phone off and just go and have a bevy and like come back later and your phone's on fire.
I definitely can't reply to them all.
No way. But yeah, you posted stuff about like the early kickoffs and whatever, and Jürgen got asked about it today and by James Pierce, and he's clearly not a fan of James Pierce because his face just went red straight away, and you could see the veins popping out, and his eyes were squinting a little bit, like, "How dare you ask me a question?" Basically, and Klopp said, "Yeah, it's fine if you've got time to prepare, and not after an international break, which is what we all want." But yeah, the stats on it are pretty ridiculous, considering. I mean, Liverpool are a draw because we get viewers and whatever, but the amount of times we've had early kickoffs, half 12s or quarter ones compared to everyone else is pretty much a joke, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Klopp called it a joke when he was eventually answered Pierce today. But he called it a joke because he said earlier in the press conference he hadn't even seen the players that have come from South America. So Alisson, McAllister, Nunez, he hasn't even seen them. Diaz as well hasn't even seen them come back from training, and the press conference was 24 hours before the game. So how he's meant to prepare for this match, well, it must have been ridiculously difficult. And we'll come on to sort of talking about who we expect to play later. But I think that's where the issue lies, because the stat which I tweeted earlier was that so since Klopp has been at Liverpool, it's now 12. This is the 12th time they've had the Saturday lunchtime kickoff after an international break, which is double anyone else. So Tottenham have had 6, Chelsea have had 6, they're the nearest, Liverpool on 12. So it's 12 out of a possible, I think it's 27 instances. And to add to that, they've also got the one after the October international break against Everton. That one's also Saturday 12:30 after the international break. So it's going to go to 13, so it'll be more than double. And the fact is, Liverpool over the years have had a lot of South American players. We've just lost 2, Fabinho and Firmino. So this has been a regular problem for Liverpool, where players have had that. McAllister was playing in Bolivia on Tuesday, and that's incredibly high altitude. He's having to take oxygen. So the demands, just in terms of looking after these players, there's a duty of care there for the Premier League and even BT Sport, because they're ultimately the ones picking, or TNT Sport, as they're called now, picking these games. They've got a duty of care to the players, I feel, that they're disregarding, and they're not really taking into account the safety of the players in terms of how much travelling and then high intensity football that they've got to play.
Yeah, and Klopp mentioned it, and he always mentions it, like, when he's going to pick a team, I'm sure he can go and say to Luis Diaz, for example, like, "Are you okay to play?" And I'm sure he'll say yeah, because he's a warrior. But it's then deferring, like you said, to the numbers and the duty of care. Like, is he okay to play? Like, physically, is he in a proper, is he in the mental and physical state? Because we know what football's like. It is driven by the numbers and stuff, and the data guys, in terms of relying on them to see if a player's ready or not, which I understand. And it's difficult to get that balance. But it is, the tweet we mentioned and the one you put out, like, it is, I was looking at some of the quote tweets and I was just like laughing, because it's like everyone agrees. Like, it's like, how are Liverpool getting this many games after international breaks when when you've got loads of South American players? I mean, it's lucky that Endo was, I think his 2 games were in Europe, I think. So he was luckily not as bad. Otherwise, that would have been another one where you're like, then you're missing potentially Endo going into this game, because he, I guess, wouldn't be in the right frame of mind, but like in terms of like body state and like mental state, is he going to be in the best possible place for it? Yeah, and that kind of feeds into what it was like last year with the half 12s, because you sent me over a little graph about the we had 6 last year, which is, again, a joke. You know?
The Premier League record is 7, so we were 1 off the Premier League record, but we had 5 of them away from home, which nobody's had more than that in a season at that kickoff time. It's a mad number.
Yeah, and like you said, five were away for a moment. And some of the stats from those were, I mean, scored three goals in those games, like just because Liverpool were, I guess, not in the right vein of form anyway. But to then start throwing in that many early kickoffs with a very underconfident Liverpool side, it was a recipe for disaster. And even a fully fit and fine Liverpool team, like after an international break, early kickoff, you'd always worry because like players come back from all over the world, traveling loads and thousands of miles. Liverpool side who were, I guess, not finding the feet, but still trying to find the best way. I mean, starting the season really well, but we still need to do that. We're going to be missing Trent, Klopp confirmed. We're going to be missing potentially a few of the South American lads. So it's going to be difficult. And these early kickoffs just don't really help us. I mean, I understand, like I said before, like the draw to Liverpool and we get viewers and whatever else, but it just doesn't seem like a fair reflection of what it should be. It should be like there should be some of the other bigger teams higher up in that list as well, shouldn't there?
Well, what surprises me is you'd expect to if Liverpool had been in the Champions League for most of the seasons under Klopp, okay, it's Europa League this season. But for BT or TNT, they can't do a Thursday night, and then a team playing on a Thursday can't then play a lunchtime Saturday. So they don't have many opportunities to actually show the teams in the Europa League. But Liverpool haven't been in the Europa League. So it's just, it makes it more baffling that Liverpool have been in the Champions League where they're playing Wednesday night and then being asked to play Saturday lunchtime kickoffs quite often. That's what's odd. Like Arsenal, who have been in the Europa League that whole time, you'd have thought after the international break, right, that's the only time BT have to show Arsenal, really, because they've been in the Europa League for many seasons and up till this season. So they've been playing Thursday. They can't do Saturday lunchtime. See, the four Arsenal, big club, big draw. They must get lots of viewers. They've got a massive fan base. But they've only been shown three times at 12:30 after an international break in the time Liverpool have been shown 12 times, which is so there's four times the difference there. And Liverpool are about to go to 13 when it's in, after the October one as well. So it'll be 10 more times than Arsenal. So it's odd, to be honest. It's just, you'd have to ask the decision makers in terms of who's deciding and picking these games, what their reasoning is. But yeah, you alluded to the games last season that Liverpool just didn't win any of those six 12:30 kickoffs last season. Only one of them was actually after an international break, and that was the Man City away, which was a bad game for Liverpool. But the others weren't actually after an international break, but still it was three draws, three defeats, three goals scored in six games, which actually looked further into the stats of that, they really should have scored a lot more than three goals. There was 8.56 expected goals. So we're talking should have scored between 8 and 9 based on the chances they had. They had 13 big chances. Two of those were Mo Salah penalties, which he missed. So it was just things like that. Just Liverpool were actually getting chances in some of those games and not finishing. They actually had four in a row where they didn't score at all between Fulham on the opening day, scored two. Man City scored one. Between those two, they had 4 12:30 kickoffs and they didn't even score a goal, which is absolutely mental, really, for a team with the attacking talent Liverpool have. So it has to improve tomorrow. That's all we can really say.
Yeah, and I guess it comes again back to like who. I mean, I'm happy that this type of stuff's getting talked about because it's all well and good saying, like, if you don't have the numbers, whatever, and you're like, oh, it feels like Liverpool play a lot of early kickoffs. So it's good to have these type of things highlighted, like, especially on Opta. It was last season, wasn't it, where it got broke down, like, time wasting on goal kicks and whatever else and stuff like that really brings it to the forefront. And then people are seeing it, referees are seeing it. They can then go, well, these are the teams we need to look out for, et cetera, et cetera. So this is another way of, like, bringing it again to the forefront and saying, surely this needs to change. Like, Liverpool have clearly getting loads more games than anyone else at this time. I don't know who's in charge of it all and whatever else, whoever they support, probably a United fan potentially. trying to just piss Klopp off as much as you can isn't a good enough reason to keep giving Liverpool these early kickoffs. So I mean, bringing it to the forefront again, like I said, is a good thing for us to be discussing it and for people to be like, well, yeah, that is a thing, because the data backs it up as well. It's not just a feeling anymore.
Yeah, it's great. It makes me sort of proud to work for Okta, really, because you know what they did last season in terms of highlighting the time wasting, what we did as a company. You know, look at the rule changes this season. And I genuinely believe that has been brought more to the attention of the referees because Okta went quite big on it and did quite a lot of tweets and articles about it and put it out there to media, gave it to BBC, gave it to Sky to talk about. And it's now probably the biggest talking point in the game, really, is the amount of added times being added on to games and players getting booked for waving imaginary cards or for time wasting, taking long over throw-ins, things like that. So I think it does make me proud to work for Okta that we can have that sort of influence in terms of what people are talking about. So that's what I'm trying to do here with the 12:30 kickoffs. I'm trying my best, Mick, to bang the drum there that it's getting a bit silly. And if it carries on, I'll keep trying to mention it on Okta and things like that. But it's good that it is being talked about, because then the more Klopp gets asked about it, the more it will make a difference, you feel, in terms of decision making, because suddenly BT or TNT will be aware and they'll be thinking, oh, hang on, we're possibly doing this a bit too much. Because then if you don't say it, they won't be aware, they won't care. If they think nobody's talking about it, they'll just keep carrying on and it doesn't bother them. Whereas now it's getting mentioned, now they have to address it at the very least.
Yeah, I don't get if it's, I don't mind if it's like harmless and they're like, well, Liverpool are a big club, let's put them on because they'll get loads of views, whatever. But it's, I'm wondering about like the reasoning behind giving us like an unfair disadvantage, basically, going into a very tricky away game. Wolves away is always tricky. Last year was horrific, but across the board, it's a hard place to go. It always is. But thrown into the fact that we're going there after an international break with players out and players potentially tired, people missing, people being on the bench, and etc., it makes it even more difficult, doesn't it?
Well, I feel like I should point out it's not just Liverpool that have this problem. Most teams actually have a poorer record at 12:30 than their general Premier League record. There's only really Man City who have a sort of, and Aston Villa do quite well, weirdly, when you look into the data, who does well at the kickoff time. Because Liverpool actually have a better points per game record at 12:30 than Man United since Klopp joined, than Arsenal since Klopp joined, than Tottenham since Klopp joined, so other big teams. But again, all of those clubs, including Chelsea, who were marginally above Liverpool for points per game at 12:30, they're all below the points per game average at 12:30 than they are at. But it's not just those big clubs. I'm not just saying it's a big club problem. We have more international players. Newcastle, who, okay, they're good now, but in recent years they haven't been as had the level of player that they've got now. Their points per game in 17 games at 12:30 is 0.65. That is beyond relegation. That is terrible, absolutely terrible. Wolves, theirs is 0.73, so they're actually really low at this kickoff time. Again, that's way below their average. So it's not just all, I'm not saying it's a big team problem. You look at Crystal Palace, 0.88 points per game, so fewer than a point per game. That's relegation form, but Palace haven't looked like getting relegated for a long time. So you can see that it affects other teams as well, because it's just so much harder to prepare for that early game. I'm not just beating the drum and saying it's a Liverpool problem, because it's a problem for all teams, and you just expect, yeah, fine, that kickoff slot existing is fine. But just make sure you share them out so every team has a more even amount of games at that slot, because it just seems ridiculous that, this is actually Wolves' first one to come after an international break since Klopp joined. So, Liverpool have had 12, and it just makes no sense, given Wolves haven't even been in Europe. So they don't have a problem with midweek football like Liverpool have had. They don't get the TV audience, you know, that Liverpool would get, but don't see really the relevance. Surely they've got to pick every team a certain amount of games. I don't know the reasons either, Mick, really, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to know. I mean, we'll never know. And Klopp said there's no point. Klopp kind of just said, like, it's pointless talking about it because it'll never change. And it's like, well, it's right because it hasn't changed. So a change of name from BT to TNT obviously isn't going to change that. So it's one of them, just have to get on with it, I guess. But bringing it to the forefront is, in a very small way, over on Cop High Podcast, we're doing our best over here. So if everyone else can do the same, then yeah, let's do our bit and get it into the forefront. But yeah, let's talk about team news then, because Klopp confirmed Trent will be out of this week. Hopefully, I mean, I don't expect he'll risk him for Europa League. Hopefully, he might be fit for West Ham next Sunday, potentially. Hopefully. And then he also mentioned about like the South American lads, which we've already discussed, and he hasn't seen them yet. And so Diaz, Callister, and Nunes also. Has apparently got some muscle injuries as well, which he came off in one of the games. So, I mean, based off all of that, let's discuss team news then, because I think Alisson not playing for Brazil in both games in itself is another joke, but I don't want to be moaning the whole podcast because we need to have some positivity here. But Alisson will surely start in goal for this one, Moni, albeit he should be starting for Brazil as well.
Yeah. So I'm sure Alisson will start. I think Klopp's never been too worried. Goalkeepers ultimately don't cover 10-11 kilometres a game on top of all the high intensity and high speed and sprints. So they don't have, it's physically demanding in a different way, but not in terms of tiring on their leg muscles and things like that. So I'd imagine Alisson starts. The big worry was if, because obviously we sort of knew Alexander-Arnold would be out. It was kind of a hope, maybe it was a fake international break injury to make sure he didn't have to play for England, but that's obviously not the case because he's out at the weekend. It was a genuine injury. So with him being out, Van Dijk being suspended, Konate missing the last two games, as a worried about, oh dear, we're a bit short in terms of defensive numbers here. Would you put Gomez at right back? But then you'd have to maybe trust Kwanzaa at centre back at 20 years of age for his first start in one of these horrible 12-30 games. So it wouldn't have been ideal, but it looks like Konate is fit. So that's a big relief, because then you can play Gomez at right back and then you've still got Matip and Konate as centre-back options, and Kwanzaa won't have the pressure of that environment, away game in that environment on it for his first start. And then Robertson, you'd imagine, should be fine at left-back. But then, it's a question of the other South American players, some McAllister, Diaz and Nunes. I think it was Bielsa said it was muscle fatigue or something that Nunes had, so not an injury as such, but tiredness in his muscles, which I think comes from the way he's asked to play and the way he does play, very much high intensity, lots of fast sprints. Yep. He's an incredibly fast player, so you'd imagine it comes from that. And Bielsa, well, he's renowned for working players incredibly hard, isn't he? Yeah. So I'm sure it'll benefit Nunes in the long run, but maybe for Wolves at the weekend, possibly, maybe a bit too much, but we'll see. McAllister and Diaz as well, they're the other two question marks. But Liverpool have plenty of options in midfield. Jones, Elliott can play, Endo, as you mentioned, can play maybe instead of McAllister, and Jota and Gakpo as well up front. So there's plenty of options there. It's just a case of how fit are the South American lads.
Yeah, I think the back four, I think, picks itself. I mean, me and you were having a discussion on WhatsApp about like throwing Kwanzaa in there and it's Dragon's Den, whatever, like straight in against Wolf, debut, half 12. Like it's like sink or swim. Like he either does really well, it's a nightmare. But Konate being back of course is a massive plus, so I think that basically picks itself. Gomez goes right back and hopefully can build on the really good performance he put in against Villa, because Klopp again referenced it today, like talking about Gomez and Matip, like the capable of being that good. We just need them to be that good more consistently. I think that's a big thing. I think Gomez moving over to right back, I mean, it's not his best position, but I think he's an able deputy there. I just think it maybe changes what Liverpool are going to do in terms of like that, the system we've been playing, where Trent comes inside alongside a six. It maybe just makes us go the way we used to be going, where we used to know what Liverpool were doing and go 4-3-3. I think with McAllister, I think he might, just from what he said today, like he got back, I think Klopp said he got back at 4 a.m, so he's probably got home. He's probably still in bed. He's probably just gone up not too long ago. He's probably absolutely knackered. So it depends what, like we said before, like how he feels, what the numbers guys say. But I think Endo potentially coming in into the six role. And then you've got Zobislav, of course, first name on the team sheet. He's an absolute, what a fella he is. And then like you said, you've got Jones, you've got Elliot. I think Jones will probably just come straight in on the left-hand side of the three there. Do you think?
Well, I think Jones started the Villa game and Elliot hasn't actually started a game this season. That just makes me think maybe Jones has the match fitness to start the game a bit more than Elliot. It's sort of a toss of a coin between the two when they're both at the best. They're both very good players. Elliot's slightly younger, so maybe time is more on his side than it is on Jones' side. They're both very young. And the other thing is, if Szoboszlai plays on that right side, if you then put Elliot on the left, maybe with being left-footed, it's not quite the fit for him. So maybe, Jones on the left side of midfield, Endo in the middle, Szoboszlai on the right makes the most sense. And with McAllister out and Alexander-Arnold out, if assuming McAllister doesn't start, it maybe makes more sense to put Endo in because Alexander-Arnold would have inverted, but you can't imagine Gomez will be inverting into midfield. So maybe it makes more sense to have Endo there as a stable holding midfield player just to keep it tight in the centre instead of having someone invert into that position. So maybe it does make sense for Endo to start this game. And especially given it's away from home, Wolves will be looking for an upset, really. So they'll be looking to be on the front foot rather than just, if it was at Anfield, you'd expect them to sit maybe 10, 11 behind the ball. Whereas at home, they might have to come out a bit more, and that's where you might need someone like Endo. But yeah, my prediction will be Szoboszlai, Endo, Jones, but I wouldn't be too upset if Elliot were to come in either. So yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, there's a few options. And I think while we're just on midfield stuff, like Klopp got asked about Gravenberch and was happy to talk about how good he is in tight spaces and wide spaces, ability to drive the ball, acceleration, and a lot of good qualities. He also mentioned there's defensive capabilities and was kind of saying he needs to improve. And I think he's obviously had that honest discussion with him where he says he needs to, if he improves the side of his game, he's a better player. I think Gravenberch himself will know that. So it's all about how he gets on board with us. And I mean, he's very young, so, but his ceiling is potentially very high. It's up to Ryan Gravenberch, really, how good Ryan Gravenberch is going to be, which is, I mean, it's a good problem to have if you know you can be so good. You just need to put the work in and stuff. But I mean, for this one, I feel like even if he's on the bench, and hopefully Liverpool have, I mean, in an ideal world, be 2 or 3 goals up, and then Gravenberch comes onto the field maybe the last 10 minutes or whatever. Yeah. But just on Gravenberch, and because we haven't really discussed him, like it's a great sign in that one, isn't it?
Well, I thought we'd look at a more natural defensive midfielder because Endo's kind of our only player who fits that, obviously by Setic, but he's only 18, so you can't really say, oh, you're going to start in 40 games a season as a holding midfielder. So I thought maybe we'd look more to that profile, whereas Gravenberch feels like a signing where if you're Elliot or Jones, you may be thinking, what does that mean for me in terms of, is he going to take up my game time? He's a similar age to the age they are as well. So they could be thinking, is he going to take up that sort of game time? But there is a school of thought that Gravenberch will be, Klopp will do a Wijnaldum with him, convert him into that holding midfield player. As he mentioned today, he does need to do a lot of defensive work before he probably is good enough to do that, certainly as a lone defensive midfielder. Maybe in a 2, he could do that. And I think he has done that, to be fair, for Bayern and even Ajax. But on his own as a lone defensive midfielder, I think there would have to be work to do there. But Klopp said the attributes that he's got, good in tight spaces, but he can shoot and he can pass. So listen, if Klopp likes him, that's enough of a endorsement for me. I don't think he'll start. I'd be surprised if he was thrown straight in, given Jones and Elliot and Szoboszlai, they're more integrated into the team at the minute. And I doubt he'd play as the holding midfielder ahead of Endo at this stage either. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if he started tomorrow. Maybe the Europa League game on Thursday could be a good chance to give him his full debut. But, yeah, maybe minutes off the bench on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Thursday presents a perfect opportunity for Gravenberch, to be honest, because, maybe try different styles. You can try Gravenberch in there against a lesser team, with all respect, and see what Liverpool can do in different formations and stuff. But again, a great sign. And like you, I was surprised, I guess, that we didn't go for a more, I guess, out-and-out 6. But Klopp shown in the past, like you rightly said, you can mould anyone to whatever he wishes in the way that no one else can. So if you want to put money on someone doing it, then you and Klopp can do it. So hopefully Gravenberch gets on board with that, which I'm sure him coming to the club is a massive reason for him to be doing that. So hopefully he can, and we'll start to see some good stuff from him, and I'll see some bits from him in the future in the next couple of games. And then just on the front three then, because you mentioned Diaz is a warrior. Nunes, like you said, with the muscular potential problems or and whatever stuff's gone on there. Salah, of course, is just a machine, plays every game, always does.
Yeah.
I've still got a sneaking suspicion that Diaz plays, you know, because I think people are saying that maybe Jota comes in and it's a great option to have. Jota can play off the left easily and can interchange with Gakpo. Gakpo can go over there. So it works in terms of maybe hiding your position a little bit more. They can change at will. But I think Diaz, I think he'll play with, alongside Gakpo and Salah. What do you think?
Diaz is the one out of him, McAllister and Nunez, that's, I would say, is most likely to play. So I feel like he's got that left wing slot as his own. Like Salah has the right wing guaranteed. I feel like Diaz kind of does have that left wing when fully fit. Obviously, last season he had that horrible injury, but he has that sort of as his position, which does make you think. And this opportunity to rest him in midweek as well against LASK. Jota could come in for that game if needed. It will ultimately be, will the sports science guys, the guys that know that their numbers in terms of how fit they are, the oxygen saturation or whatever it is they look at. I'm not an expert at that, but whatever they look at, they'll be able to tell Klopp, right, he's fit enough to play. And Diaz, well, he does have an absurd level of stamina, really, when you look at how many lung-busting runs he's capable of a game. So Diaz is the one, yeah, maybe he'll start. But if not, I'm fine Jota being on that left-hand side. With Gakpo down the middle, that'd work absolutely fine with me. And you've always got the options off the bench as well. I assume whichever two, if Diaz and Nunez aren't starting, I assume they'll be on the bench to bring on if needed. And we look at the impact Nunez had last time he was a sub against Newcastle. So there's certainly no problem with the options off the bench if they're not fit enough to start.
Yeah, I think that's the thing we love. Like, we've got that amount of options because it covers you for stuff like this where someone's not injured, but they're not technically allowed to play. Like I said, the sports science guys and sports science guys might not say that allowed to play. And Klopp always takes that as gospel. He always takes that and says, yeah, well, fair enough. Like, I can't risk them. It's not worth risking them when we've got an abundance of quality options. We haven't really talked. Let's talk a little bit about Wolves this season, then, because before we finish up, because they're currently fifth in the table, four games, one win against Everton, last minute winner, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah.
Three defeats. Like, I think, like Klopp mentioned again in his press conference today, like, they've lost quite a few players that were like Nunes, who I hated coming up against. He was just, especially against the midfield we had, he'd run past you because he is a quality player and other players. So what are your thoughts on them and how they're doing? Because they've got a lot of quality. Like, Cunha is always catches my eye how good and how well he drives the ball. I think against United he was absolutely flying. But they've still got quality in there, haven't they, to pose a problem?
Well, that's the thing. Like, even you look at, I watched the opening game of the season against Man United for them, and they should have beaten Man United. They certainly should have had a penalty at the end of the game to at least get a draw, but they were far the better team at Old Trafford. Now, I'd have to ask Wolves fans, but how many times have Wolves gone to Old Trafford and been the better team? I doubt it's that many. And we won't mention Man United's whatever problems they've got at the minute, so maybe that helped Wolves to perform well in that game. They had Brighton in the next game and got battered a bit by Brighton, but a lot of teams get battered by Brighton, so there's no sort of shame in that. And then Palace was a bit of an odd game where it was goals at half time and then ends up 3-2. So it was an odd one, really. But the one thing I will say about Wolves is they're having a lot of impact from substitutes this season. We just mentioned Liverpool subs. Wolves have scored four goals this season, and three of them have been by subs. And that Everton winner was a substitute, Kolasinac came off the bench. So I think we have to be wary of that if it's tight late on. They actually have enough depth to have impact players off the bench, which for a team like Wolves, who have been fighting in the mid-table areas of the Premier League rather than where Liverpool have been aiming to be, you know, they've got an impressive array of options. Klopp did mention that. He said to say they've sold the likes of, you know, they've even lost defensive players in the summer as well. But to say how many players they've lost, they still have an unbelievably good team on paper. And Cunha really is a handful. He certainly was against Man United. He just needs to maybe add more goals, but we hope he doesn't do that tomorrow lunchtime. He can be good, after that game.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the United game and, yeah, ridiculous that late on, like the decisions and whatever, but he was just causing them havoc. He was running through them at will. So that's one we need to keep an eye on, because players that run at pace, I guess having Konate back massively helps in that. Cause yeah. He can make anyone look slow and or weak just by how good he is. So we're going to be relying on him and the likes of Matip and Gomez to be on top form to kind of keep those players quiet. That's why it's going to be tricky. It's always tricky, like we said. So it's always a tricky game, but especially when you're missing, when you are missing Trent, it's massive, because Klopp said today, like, find me someone who can pass the ball as well as Trent, and we'll throw them in, basically, he was saying.
Can we have Kevin De Bruyne for this one game?
just loan us for 60 minutes and you can shoot back off on the train.
Well, he's injured anyway.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there's no one else, and that's the testament to how good Trent Alexander-Arnold is. He really is. Like, that's why we've inverted him in the way that we have been doing, because the play goes through him for a reason, because he's just a ridiculous football player. And yeah, let's finish up there. Before we do, as I always finish with, and it's the more I do these, the more pointless, and I think it is because I always get them wrong. But score prediction.
What are you thinking? Asking me this. I hate you asking me this, Mick. I've always told you, never ask me this question.
I can't. We've got the score prediction in the WhatsApp group now, so I've got to do score predictions every week, and it's good. It's a bit of fun and whatever. But
you give yours, because you're not going to get one out of me. I'm going
2-1, to be honest, because I've got the score, because we've been winning recently. I've been getting the right, not the right scoreline, but you get 1 point if you get. If you say it's a win and you get a win, you have to have the right scoreline to get 3 points in the WhatsApp group. So, yeah, I'm going to go for 2-1, because I never feel comfortable with saying Liverpool are going to get a clean sheet. We did against Villa, and that was down to a very, well, Klopp referenced it again today, like how good that Villa performance was against a team we generally have some struggles against. But I think this one, with the stuff we've mentioned, Trent and South American lads and whatever, and potentially some changes in there, I do feel like we will concede, but I think a 2-1, but like a comfortable 2-1, like a late goal by them, maybe, to make it, hopefully not too nervous, but maybe a little bit nervous.
I would definitely take that. Any win is a win, especially away from home at 12:30. Just go there and get the 3 points and get out is the mantra. It doesn't really matter, especially with Van Dijk missing and Alexander-Arnold missing. They're two of your absolute key players. And with Liverpool's 12:30 record last season, it is just a case of just smash and grab will do.
Just win.
Anything will do. Look at Origi's winner against Wolves in the season before, where it was just 90th minute, last minute winner. Anything will do. Kind of game. That's what tomorrow is ultimately.
Yeah, it's just one of them. Insert that meme of that fella like stood on the street with like a picket sign in the air, and it's got "just win" reds on. Like just win, and we can go top of the league. Probably just for a couple of hours, but we can go top of the league, and that always looks good. I mean, I don't like celebrating obviously after five games and whatever, but the way last season was going, to see Liverpool like doing well and getting 10 out of 12 so far, and hopefully make that 13 points out of five would be even better. But yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
It's been a pleasure as always. Like, well, I mean, this wasn't a stat show per se, but there was a lot of stats in it, of course, because Mike does work for Opta. So if you do want to go and follow Mike, then I always say this: go and do it, because there's always good stuff on there at Michael_Reed11. Sometimes he gets retweeted by Joyce and his. But go and follow him. There's always good stuff on there. And just before I go, I just wanted to, we've got a little deal going with Jack Design. So basically, if you wanna go and get yourself a comic strip print to commemorate the 7-0 win last year over Man United, they are going for 99p. So if you want to go over jackdesign.uk/shop, it's one of the best sellers. So 7-0 print, A4, add to your basket. Then COPITE99 is the code, COPITE99 on checkout. So it's $8.99. It'll drop that. It'll take £8 off for you, and it'll be 99p. So if you want to go over and do them, I don't know how many's left, because they've been going like hotcakes, to be fair, since yesterday, since I put the code out. So if you want to go and get one, COPITE99 is the code. Jack Design is the website. Go and have a look. But yeah, Mike, nice one for jumping on. As always,
cheers,
really
Mick.
Appreciate you jumping on. We'll be back hopefully a couple of days once Liverpool have won back convincingly, hopefully. And we'll do a little review of that one. But as always, appreciate you listening. We really do appreciate the support. We'll catch us all very soon. Appreciate it. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
Network.